Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Monday afternoon to each and every one of you, wherever you might be out there in Stand in the Gap country. And, of course, on behalf of Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr, I am Gary Dahl, and we are delighted to be with you today. And if your radio doesn't sound exactly the way that it should, it's not your radio. It's some of this high-tech equipment that we're working on. And it's not your fault, neither is it ours. We'll blame global warming or something like that for it. But nevertheless, we are delighted to have you with us today. And along with Dave and Sam, of course, we have a couple of guests here in the studio in Altoona, Pennsylvania. We're going to start out. And both of these men have been on programs with us before we put together the Stand in the Gap Today program. Jim O'Brien has been a friend of ours for many, many years, and he's with us today. Jim, welcome back.
Good afternoon. It's good to be back, Gary.
Good to have you. And Tom Wallace has been on our program before. He is very actively involved in fighting against the Muslims in the world today, aren't you, Tom?
Well, we're dealing with the ideology of Islam. We're putting a resistance against that, yes.
You made a statement yesterday. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, Jim and Tom are here at the Faith Baptist Church of Altoona, Pennsylvania, for a Bible conference. And the theme is ISIS, Islam, and ISIS, Israel, in the Middle East. And so if you're anywhere within the Altoona area, 2 or 3 or 4 hours away, I'd encourage you to drive in tonight at 7 o'clock. We'll be having our evening service, and Tom's going to be preaching tonight. But you made an interesting statement yesterday, Brother Tom, that maybe we can elaborate on a little bit more tomorrow, because we want to talk about the concept of marriage today. But you made a statement yesterday that individual Muslims are victims of Islam.
Yes, exactly. I mean, Islam is an equal opportunity destroyer. It goes after not only those within or without Islam, you know, because Islam declared war on the Kufar 1,400 years ago, but it's also, it victimizes those that are within the religion of Islam. They, too, are certainly victims. It's many of them live in fear. It's an easy religion to get into. But man, it's hard to get out of. Absolutely.
Yeah. We want to talk more about that probably tomorrow, because Tom is an expert on Islam. And by the way, if you cannot get to Altoona to attend the services in person, I'd encourage you to watch us by the World Wide Web. It's www.fbcaltoona.org. That's www.fbcaltoona.org. We will be live streaming tonight at 7 o'clock, and we would love to have you involved. That's www.fbcaltoona.org tonight at 7 o'clock, and you can participate in the Bible Conference, Central Pennsylvania Bible Conference, and certainly Tom Wallace has a lot to share. Tonight you'll be talking about what, Brother Tom?
Tonight we're talking about the Arab-Israel conflict, or we might entitle it the Ishmael-Isaac family feud. We'll be getting into the three title deeds of Israel, who is the one who really, who has the proper ownership of that land that we call the Holy Land, Canaan Land. And we'll be talking about the borders of Israel. When we get to the third title deed, wow, things really break forth there. And really encourage you to come if you can be there.
All right, you come or you can watch live stream at www.fbcaltoona.org. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are up against an issue right now that I think threatens the United States of America more than any issue that I have can even imagine in my own mind, and that is the idea that tomorrow the United States Supreme Court will be hearing arguments in favor of same-sex marriage. And down through the years, the court has dealt with an awful lot of very significant issues. But I think that this is probably the most significant issue, at least in my pastoral ministry, to consider as a pastor trying to lead a church and build people according to biblical marriage. And so it's very important, number one, that we pray earnestly that the Supreme Court either will send this, say it's not in their jurisdiction to talk about it and allow it up to the states, or to make the decision that is, or just vote in opposing same-sex marriage. Many people are going to be praying throughout the course of this day for the 2.5-hour hearing that's going to take place tomorrow down at the Supreme Court. As a matter of fact, this evening at 6:30, we're going to be having a special time of prayer for the situation tomorrow here at our church, Faith Baptist Church of Altoona, Pennsylvania. You can join us with that if you would like as well. But I want to go to you first of all, Sam Rohr, and because this is something that I think that many people do not understand, and that is, why is it that the issue of same-sex marriage should not even be considered by the United States Supreme Court?
Well, Gary, just in a very succinct fashion, then we have a lot of things to go over. The Supreme Court of the United States has no jurisdiction lawfully to be able to deal with the matter of marriage. Why? Because it does not fall under the limited powers given to the federal government. Under the 10th Amendment and other aspects, the preponderance of issues are left to the individual sovereign states to deal with. That marriage, if anything, would fall under that category if, in fact, the state even deals with it. But the federal government has no jurisdiction, so for the court actually to take an act upon it, Gary, and actually deal with it and make a ruling from that perspective, they actually are operating outside of their jurisdiction, and the justices are not operating in accordance with their own oath to support the Constitution. So that's fundamentally where it comes from. They do not have jurisdiction to do so.
Do you have any suspicion, Brother Sam, that they will not hear the case based upon that?
Well, Gary, unfortunately, the court has evidenced enough in times past that they will. I mean, they have made some very horrendous issues. I mean, going all the way back to the issues of prayer and Ten Commandments and Roe versus Wade and abortion, all of these issues are issues that are of the same type. They're not within their jurisdiction to rule on these things. So they have not had a long-standing record of confidence that I would have to say that they won't deal with it. I would like to see them turn it back to the state and rule all these independent federal court rulings that have invalidated state amendments to the Constitution or state statutory law, like here in Pennsylvania where we're sitting, that recognizes marriages between one man and one woman. I would like to see them take and overrule all of those and say they had no standing and revert it all back to the states. That's what ought to be done from a civil government or constitutional perspective.
Well, amen there, Brother Rohr, because I believe you're absolutely right, and what a blessing that would be if that would occur.
And, of course, I just think, again, we'll find a situation where, in a sense, the United States Supreme Court will be in contempt of the Constitution in such a thing as that. When we come back, we're going to be really talking about what is at stake, at least from the Supreme Court's perspective, and then to build on. So on behalf of Dave Kistler, Sam Paul, Jim O'Brien, Tom Wallace, I'm Gary Dahl. We'll be back before, right after this.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
With God's hand upon him, Nehemiah pursued the impossible. Rebuild broken walls, repair burned gates, restore a lost national identity. But Nehemiah had what few leaders have, a vision bigger than himself and a faith in God that wouldn't waver. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. At PPN, we encourage pastors to set their vision high, focus on God's calling and God's equipping, and boldly lead their people forward. Whether opposed by people, circumstances, or discouragement, Nehemiah did what godly leaders do. He went to his knees in prayer. He repented for his sins and the sins of the people. He beseeched God to hear the prayer of his servants who feared his name. Then he encouraged the people to work. Despite the opposition, the walls were rebuilt, gates repaired, identity found, and the worship of God restored. And you can do the same. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network.
Sign up as a partner and learn more about us at papastors.net.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Forced to resign from the Army for excessive drinking, he failed as a farmer and a businessman. Not till he volunteered for the Civil War did things change. He was promoted to Brigadier General, captured Fort Henry in Vicksburg, which established Union control of the Mississippi. Lincoln then placed him over the entire Army, and within a year he forced Lee to surrender. His name, Ulysses S. Grant, who was born this day, April 27, 1822. As the 18th president, Grant stated, "On the 100th anniversary of our nation, a grateful acknowledgement should be made to Almighty God for the protection he has vouchsafed to our country."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
A government of laws and not of men. John Adams, 1774.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in eighth grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, "we the people," didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
As stated by Edmund Burke, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing.
Join me, Carla Dedessi, here every Friday from 8 until 9 for Your Family Matters. This is going to be an epic year, 2015, for Your Family Matters. We are going to continue to protect your family, your faith, while we are having fun. We're going to bring cutting-edge news to you, the current events, current resources and tools that are going to give you the best family ever. So strap on your seatbelt and join me for this wild ride in 2015 on Your Family Matters every Friday morning. Don't miss us.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And before we took the break, I mentioned that we were going to talk about what really is at stake in this whole issue. And so, Dave Kistler, I would like to go to you. What is really at stake tomorrow as the Supreme Court has these hearings on this whole concept of same-sex marriage?
Well, Gary, on the larger scale, tomorrow's decision or tomorrow's hearing at the Supreme Court, the oral argument phase of this case, which will be heard in basically about 40 minutes time tomorrow, and then within the next 5 to 7 days, more likely 5 days, it will be decided by the 9 justices in a private room where no one else is allowed. We will, of course, not know until mid-June the decision. But, Gary, when this decision is announced, from the broad perspective, from the biblical perspective, it has the potential to either bring great blessing on our nation or great cursing. If we throw out the basic building block of society, which is marriage and God's design in the home, then we are literally, Gary, putting ourselves in a phenomenally dangerous place. To get very, very specific, for every pastor that's listening to us today, they need to understand, if this thing goes away that we do not pray that it goes, if it goes toward the legalizing of same-sex marriage all across the United States of America, it's going to change the dynamic in every single way. Gary, if a couple came to you, came to me, came to Sam, came to Tom, came to any other pastor in this country and said, you know, I want you to perform our same-sex marriage, and we declined, then now, Gary, we are in violation of the law if the high court rules the way some are hoping that they rule. So the ramifications of this are vast, and we need to be like we've never been before in diligent, earnest prayer over the next week. Not only tomorrow when the oral arguments are presented, we need to pray that our side will be stated clearly, that they'll answer the questions that we've thrown at them by the 9 justices. And then we need to pray for the deliberation stage that will take place very quickly thereafter, and that this thing comes down on a side that honors God.
Amen. Indeed, we do. And I want to mention, ladies and gentlemen, that there are organizations across the nation asking for us to pray between 11 tomorrow morning and 1:30 tomorrow afternoon, which they are suspecting is the actual time that the Supreme Court will be hearing these arguments. And we encourage you truly to be involved with that as well. Of course, don't just wait until then. You can do it between now and then. You can do it now, and certainly we need to be in a constant attitude of prayer for this. It's interesting to note that God has established 3 institutions on the face of the earth, the home, the civil government, and the church, and all three really are involved in this particular matter, in this particular issue. And Jim O'Brien, you'd like to address that for a little bit.
Well, Gary, you're right. There are 3 basic building blocks, if you will, of society that the Bible has set up. Of course, the first one being marriage, which is the smallest block, if you will. And then you have civil government, which we support, and we're thankful that we have a government that is it allows us to exercise our free will in most cases. And then you have the church, which God has established for us to fellowship and to worship Him and to honor Him. And all that comes to mind as I hear what could happen tomorrow, and I'm praying it will not, is if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And the answer, of course, is we're praying that it will not happen, because the answer to that question is there's going to be terrible, I believe, calamity come upon this nation. You look at history. History is a vast early warning system. And you look at nations that have gone the way of homosexuality, we'll call it what it is. I will not call it gay. That's a word that they invented. The word gay appears once in the scriptures, at least in the King James Version. And the word gay in scripture refers to purity, refers to something that is white and clean and true. And I will not use that word in language because of that. But what's interesting is homosexuality is condemned in Scripture. Look in Leviticus chapter 20. In fact, if you look at the Supreme Court over this front, over the front doors, on the in the sculpture is a picture of Moses holding the Ten Commandments, and those commandments include the fact that people of the same sex should not marry. It's not only a sin; it's an abomination. which is, well, how can I say it, very serious sin. And not only is it in Christianity and Judaism, but it's also in Islam. In fact, homosexuality in Islam is condemnable by death. It's not just sort of we'll put you in prison or something else. It's condemned by all of the major religions of the world. So it's not just an American thing. So I really hope and pray that America will rise up and not go out and have violence, but to peacefully, prayerfully uphold the justices as they meet and hear these arguments, and also pray for those who are presenting the arguments. It's a very, very brief time. It's not over days. It's just a very brief time that could affect our nation for forever, basically. So I just hope that we'll recognize that this is not just a Christian thing, but it's something that affects the major religions of the world, whether you agree with them or not. That's a basic premise. It's a building block.
Well, absolutely it is, Jim, and I appreciate those comments. And, Tom, you know, somebody mentioned to me the other day, and I agree with him, and that is the idea that even the whole idea or the idea of the phrase same-sex marriage is really an oxymoron or a contradiction of terms from the biblical perspective, is it not?
Well, it certainly is. I mean, marriage is for the propagation of a family, and, The two men can't propagate, two women can't propagate, only man and woman can do that. And so, you know, it takes away also the common sense, you know, and what are we left with?
Well, nothing but sin and yeah. Wickedness and unrighteousness. Sam, you know, over the last couple of days, maybe the last couple of weeks since we have been facing this particular issue, I've been having people ask me, what will we as Christians and pastors do if indeed the Supreme Court sanctions same-sex marriage? I mean, you know, is there a strategy that we should follow? Right now we're praying that they do not sanction it. But what if in the middle of June we find out that they've said, yes, it is a constitutional right, just like abortion is, and so forth and so on? What is our strategy at that point, brother?
Well, it really, again, it depends on the ruling that they come down with. If, in fact, they come down and they revert it back to the states, then our collective response is that this issue is reverted to the states, and you have the debates occurring within the state. But from a pastoral perspective, biblical perspective, it really ought to be the same regardless, and that is faithful preaching of the whole counsel of God, all of what he says, not just in regard to marriage, but all of the other aspects of Scripture as it touches on the culture, should be something that is that further motivates every person who stands up and opens the Word of God, that they teach all that it says, because it without the proper explanation, teaching of biblical truth to the hearts and lives of those that are out there, the culture will continue to just erode. Frankly, we are in the position that we are in, Gary, because too many pulpits in America have gone silent, and the opposers of God's truth, of absolute truth, of moral truth, of the Constitution, which is based on biblical principles, these enemies abound, and they abound, and they have abounded for a long time. And the only way that you can be shored up and can defend against is by truth to be preached and taught. When we have a generation who doesn't know these things and a generation in the pulpit who have not been teaching biblical truth, we are in a, frankly, a weakened position when assaulted by the forces of evil. But this is what needs to be done. The pastors in the pulpit have got to say, this is not crying wolf. These are the foundations, as Jim O'Brien said earlier, the foundations are being destroyed. The ground is slipping under our feet. I mean, they had an earthquake over in Nepal. We saw what a physical earthquake did. But frankly, these kinds of things are impacting structurally this as a nation. And in some respects, these kinds of earthquakes, if not fortified against, will collapse the entire nation.
You know, I realize that some of the things that we talk about on this particular issue may seem basic, simple, redundant, but there are things that many people don't even take into consideration. So, David Kistler, I ask you, in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul tells us that the church is the pillar and the ground of truth. And though this is a basic question, the question is, what specific application does this have in relationship to the same-sex marriage issue?
Well, Gary, obviously yesterday pastors were implored both by APN and a number of other organizations around the country to address this topic unequivocally, clearly, powerfully, forcefully, directly from the pulpit. And I've been thrilled at the response I've gotten from pastors who said they did exactly that. And so, Gary, we speak truth now before the decision, and we, as Sam said, speak truth after the decision, whether the decision goes our way, whether it does not. And, you know, Gary, I hate to bring it up, but if it goes against us, we'll have to make a decision at that point. Do we obey God or do we obey men? And, of course, we ought to be unequivocally committed to obeying God.
Yes, indeed. We do need to talk about that idea of civil disobedience. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Stand in the Gap today. We will be back with more right after this. I'm Gary Dahl. Stay tuned.
Fox News Radio, I'm Paul Stevens. Word that Saturday's earthquake in Nepal killed more than 4,000 people and injured at least 6,500.
The number of injured people arriving from outlying areas is also overwhelming hospitals. Rescue teams in the capital Kathmandu continue to dig at collapsed buildings in the hope of finding survivors despite more aftershocks. Aid and rescue teams continue to arrive at the airport as hundreds of thousands struggle to survive on the streets.
Fox's David Piper in Bangkok. Loretta Lynch sworn in today as the nation's new attorney general and delivering a promise on the Justice Department's mission.
To not just represent the law and to enforce the law, but to use it to make real the promise of America, the promise of fairness, the promise of equality, of liberty and justice for all.
Lynch, the first African-American woman to ever hold the AG post. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of providence which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom, shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180, shining forth, we are the Freedom Station, WFYL.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And again, I say that if you are hearing anything different over your radio, we are having some technical difficulties here at the network. We apologize for that, but that is the way of modern technology. And so just forgive us, and we are in the process of seeing it straightened up. So as my mother used to say, hang in there, the best is yet to come. So we fully believe that. But welcome back, and on behalf of Sam Rohr and David Kistler, we are talking again today about the idea of the United States Supreme Court going to be hearing arguments in favor of same-sex marriage tomorrow, and it's very, very important that we be praying for that. I encourage every pastor to lead your congregation in prayer. Maybe you want to set aside some times of prayer, and particularly from 11 a.m. until 1:30 p.m. tomorrow, folks will be praying for this situation all across this nation, because it appears as though that may be the time that the Supreme Court will be hearing these particular arguments. They have set aside 2.5 hours to hear those arguments, so that'll be 2.5 crucial hours in the history of the United States of America. And we're talking specifically about what's going to happen tomorrow, but Dave Kistler, I want to go to you with this particular question, and that is, what really is behind this move to sanction same-sex marriage? I mean, you know, what we see going on is sort of a symptom, but what really is behind this whole move entirely?
Well, Gary, I'll be honest with you. I think this attempt to legalize, to declare as normal a same-sex union is actually the consummate example of humanity's defiance against the God of heaven. You know, Gary, if you go all the way back to the book of Genesis, chapters 2 and 3, the basic building block of society, which is the home that Tom referred to, the husband-wife relationship that Tom talked about so eloquently a little bit ago, that, Gary, is the very foundation of our nation. And so when you want to defy God, when you do not want to be governed by the God of heaven, when you don't want his word to hold sway in your life, then you go at the very core of what God has established, which is the home unit. And so, Gary, I think this is nothing less than the consummate example of humanity that does not want God's laws ruling over them, trying to defy the God of heaven. That's the bottom line.
Well, it is. And, of course, remind our people, Brother Dave, what Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 32 says about this idea of turning away from God's law as it relates to this issue of homosexuality.
Well, Gary, the Bible is very clear that we reap disastrous consequences for turning our back on God's law. There is a downward steps of degradation that humanity is given over to, that sinful man is given over to there in Romans chapter number 1. It begins with ingratitude. It moves downward. Then it talks about men burning in lust for other men and rejecting God's standard of marriage. And then ultimately, God pours out his undiluted judgment on that generation, that group of people, or that nation that practices those kind of abominations that are against the very God of heaven. So, you know, we were talking earlier about Psalm 11. Jim talked about, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If you read the rest of those verses following verse 6 and on to the end of the chapter, and it's just a few verses to the end of the chapter, it talks about God raining judgment on those that practice iniquity. So, Gary, what's going to take place tomorrow at the high court has great significance, not just for the United States, but for the whole of humanity.
Well, indeed. And Jim O'Brien, you're involved with a ministry of education, and I'm just wondering if you can tell our audience what parents, pastors, churches, and Christian schools can do to approach this idea of educating children on the abomination of homosexuality.
Well, Gary, I think the most powerful thing that they can do is by example. Okay, in other words, not just a case of what I say, but do what I do, because I think example is probably the most powerful. However, I do believe also that our schools need to also include some kind of a curricula that includes the foundational documents that made our nation to begin with, which includes the Bible, and, of course, teaching the Constitution and a number of other seminal documents like the Mayflower Compact and so on, and the Federalist Papers and that kind of thing. We have an organization called School Ministries, or Release Time Bible Education, which is being taught across the United States. We're reaching right now about 375,000 public school students with the truths of the Bible. And many of these students do not attend a religious organization anywhere, any church or mosque or synagogue or whatever. And they're coming and learning what the truths of Scripture are and recognizing that the Scripture clearly teaches that God has intended it to be one man and one woman, teaching the truth. If you look in Leviticus, I mentioned earlier about Leviticus, if you look in that chapter, the same chapter, it starts off with, a man shall not lie with a man. It's an abomination, punishable by death. A woman shall not lie with a woman. It is punishable by death. But then it continues, a man shall not lie with a beast. It's an abomination. A woman shall not lie with a beast. A man shall not lie with his sister-in-law. A man shall not lie with his, you know, all of these different things. Anything outside of a man and a woman in a marriage is an abomination. And so if we have this passed by the Supreme Court, what's next? Bestiality, right? I want to sleep with a sheep, or I want to whatever, or have three people, you know, have a threesome kind of thing. Where does it end? And you've heard the story about the frog. If you take a frog and put it in a pot of water, cool water, the frog will just sit there. And you can put that frog on the stove and turn the heat up just a little bit. I mean, just barely warm, and gradually heat it up. That frog will cook to death because it cannot sense the change in temperature. And that's, I think, what could happen if this particular proposal passes by the Supreme Court. Gradually, other things will come along to eventually we're not able to function as a nation anymore.
Well, that's right. And, of course, you know, in Romans chapter 1, it says that when people turn their back against God, God gives them up to a reprobate mind, Jim, which means that they cannot think righteously. They cannot think righteousness. Tom Wallace, I want to go to you with this question, and that is, how can pastors prepare their churches to defend themselves in the case being approached to perform same-sex marriage? I mean, you know, if indeed the Supreme Court sanctions same-sex marriage, I think that there is going to be a flood of people coming to pastors in evangelical fundamental churches. People are going to say, we want you to marry us. We want you to marry us. You know, men and men and women, how can a pastor prepare his church to defend themselves in that case?
Well, I'm not a lawyer, but I have heard from some good Christian lawyers on this particular issue. And one of the suggestions that is made is this, is that that you make in your bylaws, first of all, a statement of what marriage is, that marriage is between a man and a woman. That will help you in your protection, in your argument. Another thing that you may also put in there is that you will only marry members of your church. And I think you have to be more exclusive in that area. Be prepared for civil disobedience and to deny it and to fight, you know, that case out. I don't know.
Well, civil disobedience is a very, very realistic matter for us to consider. Sam, we've talked about that from time to time here at the American Pastors Network. How would a church go about civil disobedience? I mean, I think it's going to become a must. And over in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, it says that we ought to obey God rather than man. Well, again, how can a pastor actually prepare his church and lead them into civil disobedience if indeed that case would come their way?
Well, I think in this case, Gary, I mean, oftentimes people view civil disobedience as going down the street and carrying signs and placards or who knows what other else. And actually, that's not a civil disobedience. That's just a practice of the First Amendment right. But really what we're talking about here is that if a higher authority civil government says you cannot refuse to marry a homosexual couple and the decision is no, I can. And I will, because God says I cannot. Okay, that would be, in the clear sense of the word, civil disobedience. But if that's really just a matter of saying, I will not be forced to do anything in my life, I'll not be forced to say anything, I'll not be forced to do anything that will contradict or violate higher law, God's law, that is over and above any kind of civil law that any nation of this world can ever pass. That, in actuality, is civil disobedience, but before God, it is not civil disobedience. It is obedience to God. So a pastor just needs to lay out the hierarchy of authority and that we obey God rather than man.
Well, that's absolutely true. And pastors, I would encourage you to seriously consider this idea of civil disobedience and how important it is for you to obey God rather than man in your own life as well as in your church life. We're going to take a break and we'll be back with more and talking about this idea of same-sex marriage in the Supreme Court in just a few moments. I'm Gary Dell. Don't go away. More coming up.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
With God's hand upon him, Nehemiah pursued the impossible. Rebuild broken walls, repair burned gates, restore a lost national identity. But Nehemiah had what few leaders have, a vision bigger than himself and a faith in God that wouldn't waver. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. At PPN, we encourage pastors to set their vision high, focus on God's calling and God's equipping, and boldly lead their people forward. Whether opposed by people, circumstances, or discouragement, Nehemiah did what godly leaders do. He went to his knees in prayer. He repented for his sins and the sins of the people. He beseeched God to hear the prayer of his servants who feared his name. Then he encouraged the people to work. Despite the opposition, the walls were rebuilt, gates repaired, identity found, and the worship of God restored. You can do the same. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network.
Sign up as a partner and learn more about us at papastors.net.
Freedom is not a gift bestowed upon us by other men, but a right that belongs to us by the laws of God and nature. A quote from Benjamin Franklin. In 1778, George Washington said in Valley Forge, "If having pleased the Almighty Ruler of the universe to defend the cause of the United States, and finally to raise up a powerful friend among the princes of the earth, to establish our liberty and dependence upon a lasting foundation, it becomes us to set apart a day of gratefully acknowledging the divine goodness and celebrating the important event which we owe to his divine interposition."
The 2015 Commonwealth Prayer Breakfast will be held Tuesday, May 5th from 7 to 9 a.m. at the Radisson Penn Harris Hotel, 1150 Camp Hill Bypass in Camp Hill, Pennsylvania. This year's breakfast theme is God Answers Our Prayers, and the featured speaker is Philip A. Clemens, Chairman of the Clemens Family Corporation and CEO of Hatfield Quality Meats. Mr. Clemens will share why God answers our prayers and how this has personally impacted his life journey. Cost for the breakfast is $25 per person or $300 to sponsor a table of eight. Consider taking the time to join others in prayer on Tuesday, May 5th at this 2015 Commonwealth Prayer Breakfast. To reserve your spot by the April 30th deadline or for event questions, contact Stephanie at 814-931-7841. That's 814-931-7841. 814-931-7841.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, I suspect that there are probably liberal pastors out there, liberal churches, who are really just waiting for the Supreme Court to say that it's constitutional for same-sex marriage. They're just waiting for permission to marry two men or to marry two women. And I think that, you know, we really need to be praying about that as well. But Dave Kistler, as homosexuality is something that seems to be growing on almost every corner these days, what does a Christian parent do when one of his or her children come to them and say, hey, I'm a homosexual?
Well, Gary, that's a great question. Obviously, we are driven by God's clear command to love all people. And even what we're talking about today, Gary, even though we vehemently disagree with same-sex marriage and though we believe the Scripture teaches unequivocally that it is an abomination in the sight of God, that doesn't mean that we hate anyone. No, we love all people. We love them enough to tell them the truth. And by the way, Gary, just recently there has been a situation with some friends of mine that this became a reality where they had a child that identified as being homosexual. And Gary, I will say this, and I praise the Lord for this. There is biblical help. There is help from the God of heaven with situations like this. And so we lovingly take our children, we take any person that has declared this, we take them to what the Word of God has to say. There are outstanding counselors available to work with folks like that. And thankfully, Gary, that sinful choice, and I'm calling it a choice because I believe it is a choice, can be repented of. God's forgiveness can be procured, and a life of great peace and happiness in walking in obedience to the Word of God can be achieved. And I could tell you stories for the rest of the program, certainly, and probably the rest of the afternoon, of people that have received that forgiveness from God and are living in a life of contentment and blessing from the God of heaven because they have rejected what the world says is normal and have adopted what God says is His plan for marriage, and that's a man and a woman, and they're living in great peace and great happiness. So, Gary, we love enough to tell the truth, and we lead in the direction of God.
Yeah, could I just interject here? I agree, Dave, exactly what you said. When it comes to the biblical commands, the commandments are against things that are under the control of the people to whom the command goes to respond. It's not like, be thou Caucasian. Or, you know, be thou African-American, but the Scripture commands those things that are under our control to respond. So when your child comes back and says, I have homosexual tendencies, this is a decision. Now, it doesn't mean that they haven't been influenced by various things they've seen or their friends or peer pressure, but these are things that can be dealt with through Scripture, through love. You know, I've told people that God loves a homosexual, but He does not love homosexuality. Now, there's a big difference between those two.
Well, there is, and we are rapidly running out of time, and I want to go to some Scripture here and then go to Sam Rohr with our final question. So, Sam, be ready there with your ears on. But we want to go here, first of all, to Jim and then to Tom. The Bible says a lot about homosexuality in Leviticus and Romans and 1 Corinthians and other places. Explain those biblical admonitions to us very, very briefly. Get to the point because of our time constraints, Jim.
Well, Gary, I'm just going to read the Scripture as it is without comment because I think it speaks for itself. It says, if a man, this is Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13, if a man also lie with mankind, in other words, with another man, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death.
their blood shall be upon them. And then you have in the New Testament, this translates also into the New Testament. Romans chapter 1 has already been mentioned, but let me read verse 22. But there's other passages in the New Testament we could refer to, but because of time we can't. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their lust, there's that choice, burned in their lust, one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense in their error, which was meet. So it's a biblical concept, Old Testament, New Testament.
Sam, as we wrap this discussion up here this afternoon, in the case of a bakery or any other business that normally serves homosexuals daily, but refuses to make a cake or something like that for a wedding, for instance, because of the conviction of their faith, does the United States Constitution give them the right to refuse to contributing to that event?
Gary, it does under the current interpretation of the Constitution. And, of course, that's what a lot of this is involved in. At this juncture, yes, it does. If a firmly held religious belief would say, if I do something that actually, in effect, it makes me to endorse or to support or to promote or to encourage something that God said, in this case with marriage here, that is wrong, then under the First Amendment, there is the right to say, no, I can't be compelled to do that. And so, yes, they do, and that obviously will be a lot of the ramifications. These kinds of things will come up as additional challenges, both to the pastor in the pulpit, marry this person if they choose not to, and or in the case of that. And so these things are all wrapped up together, but, yes, it does provide the current protection under the current law.
Jim, you have a question there, too, you say?
I guess my question would be, Gary, if this were passed, would this also impact your ability to hire people as far as what their persuasions were?
Sam, your answer to that?
Well, it may give a cause of action. I mean, generally speaking, right now, in most employment circumstances, those kind of questions are not asked. However, in the setting of a church or a for instance, where must be believers, must be living obediently to the word of God. If someone comes in and says, well, I know this spot's open and I want to be hired, and if someone says, we cannot, this could provide a cause of action in a case like that, which right now, obviously, is something that's afforded a right and a protection to the people who are there. So these are the kinds of things I guarantee you, if the court rules negatively to what the position of biblical marriage, these kinds of things, these kinds of what-ifs right now, will only be multiplied beyond any imagination. This is the kind of impact we're talking about.
I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, that it's important if you are a pastor and or a leader in your local church, it's important to put these kinds of things in your official papers, your bylaws, your constitution, and that is that your pastor will not perform same-sex marriage, that your church will not support the same-sex marriage movement, and that you will not hire people who hold the same-sex marriage. You need to put those in your documents. And if you'd like to have a copy of what that should read like, contact me through our office here, and I can make certain to see that you get a copy of what we have in our particular set of papers. Continue to pray earnestly for tomorrow, and Supreme Court will not vote in favor of same-sex marriage. Also tomorrow, we're going to be talking about Islam, so you'll want to be there by the radio in the next 24 hours or 23 hours from now. Until then, on behalf of Dave Kistler, Sam Rohr, Jim O'Brien, and Tom Wallace, I'm Gary Dahl saying keep looking up. The best is yet to come. God bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.